You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. As well, there are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, who are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Collected Works, Volume 100, by Dr. Steiner, entitled True Knowledge of the Christ. It is composed of two cycles from 1907. One is entitled Theosophy and Rosicrucianism, the other an early cycle of the Gospel of John. This is the first cycle still, Lecture 9 of 14, Theosophy and Rosicrucianism, given in Kassel on the 24th of June, 1907, translated by Anna Moyse. Today we will take the outline of planetary evolution that was given yesterday further. It was said that our Earth has previously gone through a Saturn, Sun, and Moon state. Today I would like to describe these consecutive states for you in the way that is customary in occultism. When we then come to speak of inner development by following the road of insight, we shall see what is really meant by many things presented in as hypothesis today. As we now go straight to consideration of the Saturn state, which existed millions and millions of years before our time, it looks very different from what people assume on the basis of present-day conditions. We must, above all, be clear in our minds that the most perfect entity we know, the human being, has followed the longest line of evolution. You will therefore hear a history of evolution that may be said to differ greatly from that of Haeckel and Darwin. You will find the advantages of this purely materialistic theory presented in my book. In the first place, we have to understand that the most perfect entity has gone through the longest period of development, and that is the human being. To begin with, the human physical body. It needed the longest time for its evolution. Looking back with the spiritual eye, EYE, we therefore find its first beginnings even in Saturn existence. The whole of cosmic space, with all spirits and objects in it, exerted an influence on the first stage of Earth evolution. You still have all the organs in you that were developed as the most perfect part of your physical body at that time. These were the sense organs, the apparatuses that can be understood in purely physical terms. The potential for them was established at that time. Do not imagine that the eye did then exist the way it does today, but the first beginnings of the eye, the ear, all the sense organs, and all otherwise purely physical apparatuses in the human being came into being on Saturn. The only activities on Saturn were those which still produce the mineral world today. Human beings existed then in the first beginnings of their physical body. Everything else, blood, tissue, and so on, did not exist. The first beginnings of the human body were physical apparatuses by nature. Emeralds, mica, and so on are the outcome of physical laws, developing as cubes, hexahedra, and so on. On Saturn, apparatus-like configurations developed that were as crystals are in the Earth today. And the mode of action on Saturn's surface was essentially a kind of reflecting or mirroring into cosmic space. The spirits which surrounded Saturn, scattered through cosmic space, cast their activities down to it. Another thing which was strongly developed at that time was the, quote, cosmic aroma. Close quote. You can only get a feeling for some of the things that existed on old Saturn, when you hear an echo in the natural world outside. The sound of the echo would be something which on Saturn was made to flow out of the impressions that had influenced Saturn. The apparatuses which threw back those images into cosmic space were the first beginnings of what later developed into the eye, EYE, for instance. We might trace every detail like this. The things you have in your body today were a physical world on old Saturn, which reflected the whole image of the cosmos back to it in space. Myths and legends have retained the phenomenon much more clearly than we would think. The Greek myth taken from the Eleusinian Mysteries still has something of it in the image of Cronus and Rhea, except that the facts underwent one great shift because of the way in which the cosmos was seen in those early times. We are told that Cronus cast down his ray, and it returned to him in many different ways. Hence the image of Cronus devouring his children. You should not think, however, that the mass of Saturn was as solid as physical bodies are today. Even water or air would not give you an idea of the ground substance of Saturn. Speaking of bodies, occultists refer to solid, watery, and air-like bodies. The elements of old were what chemists call states of aggregation today. You should not think that the ancients meant the same when speaking of elements as we do. But there is another higher state of aggregation, which was called fire by the occultists of old. Heat or warmth would be more appropriate. Physicists will be forced to admit that the heat they speak of can truly be compared to a kind of fourth state of aggregation, a form of matter that is different from air and water. The Saturn mass had not even condensed to the consistency of air. It was purified heat. Its action was similar to the warmth in your blood today, and it was connected with inner life processes. For these physical processes were genuine life processes. Saturn consisted of heat matter, a tremendously subtle mass which, with regard to our kinds of matter, might be said to be neutral. If we now consider the spirits that inhabited Saturn, we must in the first place be clear in our minds that the entity which goes about on Earth today only had the first beginnings there of its physical body. Capital I, or astral body, were not in it. But other spirits, which today are much higher than human beings, populated Saturn. They did not move around there in physical bodies, but were embodied in heat matter, presenting as a current of heat moving along. Such heat currents were the activities of the spirits living on Saturn. As you shape a table today, so did these spirits do their work by causing heat currents. Apart from this, they were not in evidence. They would meet and greet, as it were, on Saturn in the way in which two currents of heat would move hither and thither. The spirits that went through their human stage on Saturn did not have a physical body as their lowest principle. They did not descend into matter to a depth where they would have had need of a physical body. Their lowest principle was the capital I, just as you have the physical body as your lowest principle. Then came their spirit self, or manas, their life spirit, or buddhi, the spiritual human being, or atman, and they had also developed an eighth, ninth, and tenth principle, which we must include in their case. In theosophical literature, these principles which human beings have not yet developed are called the three Logoi. The Christian terms are the Holy Spirit, the Son or the Word, and the Father. We may say, therefore, that just as human beings consist of physical body, ether body, astral body, and I, spirit self, life spirit, and spiritual human being, so did the spirits dwelling on Saturn, whom we may compare to today's human beings, as they relate to the earth, consist of I, spirit self, life spirit, spiritual human being, the Holy Spirit, the Word, or the Son, and the Father. In theosophy, they are called Asuras. It is they which implanted independence, self-awareness, and sense of self in that physical beginning of a human body. You would not be able at all to use your I, E-Y-E, to serve the I, capital I, if your beginnings at that time had not been prepared in such a way that you could make them serve the I. The spirits of the capital I, also called the spirits of egoity, thus prepared these principles. They have given us something that is the wisest thing, if properly developed. But all things most sublime are turned into their opposite, do the most damage, and cause perdition, if not properly developed. Human beings would never be able to reach the level which we call independent human dignity if those spirits had not implanted the sense of self in them. There have also always been spirits that took the evil route. We, therefore, have to say that the spirits which implanted selfhood, spirits which today are far above human beings, spirits we look up to as the most sublime there can be, have made selfhood serve self-denial, sacrifice. The others have continued to pursue selfhood in a self-seeking way. We bear in us the influences of the spirits of the I, which took the good route in seeking freedom and human dignity. We also bear in us the seed of evil, for the spirits that had fallen away at that time continue to have an influence. People have always been sentient of this duality. In Christianity itself, distinction is made between the Father God, seen as the spirit of Saturn, which has risen highest, and his adversary, the spirit of all evil, eyes, and all that is radically immoral, a spirit which fell away on old Saturn. Those are the two representatives of Saturn. Just as you will meet other forms of existence after death, so does such a cosmic body enter into a kind of intermediate state before it enters into a new state. It is a kind of sleep state, a pralaya, the opposite of a manvantara, so that a kind of rest, latent state, of the planet comes between the Saturn and the Sun state. Then the whole planet emerges in a new form from that sleep state, which is a spiritual condition, however, and not a resting state. Saturn thus emerged again, now as Sun. Then came a considerable change. An ether body entered into a great number of the potentials which had developed on Saturn and are today growing and developing within us. Something happens during such a planetary transition, which we may compare with taking the fruit of a plant and putting it in the soil. It will rot away, but the potential for a new plant develops. Everything which had developed on Saturn came up as new potential on the Sun and took in an ether body. Not everything. Some of it stayed behind, so that the former potential for a human body split into two realms. Some rose to a kind of vegetable human being. Where plants today have their ether body and physical body, so did the sun, human beings, have a physical and ether body. And others remained at the mineral and physical level. We can compare them with today's mineral world. This the sun included within itself as a subordinate natural world. It had elevated another to a vegetable come human level. You will have the right idea of the sun's air if you imagine a chemically dense gas no longer being just a mirroring body, but now taking into itself everything that rayed toward it, only casting it back again after changing it within itself, which is the way it is with the color of plants today. The plant produces its green pigment and other colors, and then gives what it has developed to the world. We cannot compare whatever lived in the sun's body with an echo or mirror image, as in the case of Saturn. A peculiar phenomenon arose for the spirits that were embodied on the sun, something which can only be compared with a kind of mirage, mirrorings in the air in colorful images. Phenomena of this kind, today seen only in specific regions on the Earth's surface, would be able to give you a sense of how the bodies of plants became visible at that time. You have to imagine that your own bodies had mirage-like precursors, which a present-day body can simply pass through. They were as subtle as mirages, but not only light effects, but at the same time also sound and smell effects whizzing through the sun's gaseous sphere. All entities on the sun were luminous, like everything that exists as a fixed star is today. The old Saturn realm of the entities that had remained behind looked like a dark inclusion, dark patches compared to the light, like dim caves within the sun's body, upsetting its harmony. It was particularly with regard to the world's aroma that sensations got mixed in that came from the retarded spirits, spreading all kinds of bad odors. Mythology has held on to this, saying that the devil stinks and leaves behind an evil smell. As the sun developed further, a dark inclusion would indeed remain behind, and today's sunspots are stragglers from old Saturn on the sun. Get small s on sun there. This is also why they can't be hypothetically explained with accuracy, the way it is done today. It all holds true. We have now had a brief outline of the Earth's sun existence in its material aspects. Let us now see what spirits had reached the human level at that time. We would have to describe them by saying their lowest principle is the astral body. Then came their I, spirit self, life spirit, their spirit human being or Atman, then in Christian terms the Holy Spirit, and the Son or the Word. The Father was something they did not have, something which had developed only in Saturn time. These spirits have since risen higher and are far beyond human beings today. The leader of the sun spirits, insofar as he had the greatest influence on the earth, the representative of these spirits, which has the sun or the word as the highest principle, is the Christ in the esoteric sense of Christianity, the true regent of the earth, insofar as the earth has had sun existence before. This was the teaching in early Christianity, and the very difference between true Christianity and exoteric Christianity, which is based on many misconceptions, is that the early Christians sought to use all thinking and all views in order to understand the real nature of the sublime spirit, which had, at that time, assumed human form in Jesus of Nazareth. The early Christians wanted to have an idea of what was really behind this, and so no wisdom was too sublime and too difficult to handle, and they thus pictured Christ in Jesus of Nazareth. Much that is said in John's Gospel will only be comprehensible to you if you consider it from this point of view. We need to point to just one thing. If you take the words, quote, "I am the light of the world," close quote, literally, they indicate that the Christ is the great sun hero, that the light of the sun is his true nature. We call the whole army of spirits who are led by the Christ fire spirits, and we say, at the time of Saturn, the Asuras, or eye spirits, were at the human level. At the time of sun existence, the fire spirits, or Logoi, the most sublime representative of which has been called the Logos, or Word. Thus, the Christ himself is called the Word, which was there in the prime origin. In quotes, prime origin being the biblical term for a specific starting point in cosmic evolution. There followed another in-between state, a kind of sleep state for the whole cosmic body, after which it shone out as old moon. You have to consider that initially the present-day earth and the present-day moon were one with the sun. It was only when the sun first shone out that some of the spirits and part of their environment separated off, resulting in two cosmic bodies. One of them, the sun, was beginning to change into a fixed star, with the part that had separated off orbiting it. The old sun thus divided in two. Substance, which had been taken to a higher level, remained on the sun, and the less perfect parts were eliminated. Before this, things went one way, there being only one heavenly body. Now there were two ways, the sun way and the moon way. The sun way developed on the sun body, the moon then developed its own world. You would have the old moon if you were to combine the present-day earth with the moon. This will give you some idea of the consistency of the moon. The present-day moon is far below the earth physically and non-physically where its qualities are concerned, and that is actually the reason why the earth separated from the moon. It needed better conditions for the entities on it. The earth has since developed further beyond its former moon state. The best things had, of course, remained on the sun. What were things like on the moon? The spirits that had prepared themselves on Saturn by laying the physical foundations for the sense organs had refashioned them on the sun, in that an ether body was incorporated. The sense organ had thus been centralized, and the first beginnings for all organs of growth, including the glands, had developed under the influence of the ether body on the old sun. This was one of the last products of the sun state. On the moon, the astral body was similarly incorporated. Everything astral did, of course, first exist in the environment. The fire spirits had the astral body as their lowest principle. They were, therefore, a kind of plant, having a fixed habitat, for instance. The whole body of the sun was gaseous, but you have to think of denser layers of air, and these were bodies for the plant-human entities. Incorporation of the astral body led to the beginnings of a nervous system developing. The realm which had gone through the plant stage in its development on the sun changed into something with animal nature. The physical ancestors of man therefore had three bodies, physical body, ether body, and astral body, but were more than a degree higher than the most highly developed apes of today. They were animal and human. And nothing in biology today can prove to you that such an intermediate realm existed that was between human and animal. Today's vegetable, animal, and mineral worlds altogether developed later. But just as there were human-animal entities, so we have to assume that a realm existed that was intermediate between plant and animal. Plants with half capacity for sentience that would actually squeak if touched. These plant animals could never have grown in the kind of mineral soil we have on Earth today, but that actually did not yet exist then. The moon mass did not consist of today's mineral matter, not even something like agricultural soil. The ground on moon consisted, to use an analogy, of something like if one were to cook lettuce or spinach to a pulp. A kind of mineral plant existed in it, and so the whole moon mass was a vegetable entity. If you think of a peat bog of today, it resembles what at that time was a realm between our plant and mineral worlds. There were no rocks either. Anyone walking on that ground would have been walking about on that kind of peat bog or vegetable soil, and instead of rocks, you have to think of woody elements. The plant animals grew from that ground, and the human animal entities would move across them in the peripheral part of the moon, which is called, quote, fire air, close quote. Think of all the air filled with saltpeter, carbonic and sulfuric acid vapors. The moon's human beings lived in the fiery air, which this would give you. Occultists have always known this fire air, and under the early Earth conditions, it was actually possible to produce such fire air chemically, something which can today only be done among a very few people. Knowledge of it has been preserved in genuine alchemy. So, if we read in Goethe's Faust, number 1, quote, a bit of fire air which I'll prepare, close quote, we have an echo there of the very depths of occultism. Fire air surrounded the moon and was its atmosphere. We may perhaps understand this moon existence even better if we mention something else as well. We had a realm of plant minerals, of animal plants, growing from the vegetable mineral soil, and then the animal-human beings moving around. But there were also entities at every level that lagged behind, like children who have to repeat a year in school. They appear in very strange situations in the later stages of evolution. We have the laggard of the animal-plant realm in parasites, for instance, in mistletoe. This plant is unable to grow in mineral soil because it was accustomed to grow in vegetable mineral soil. It bears witness of something like a pupil lagging behind, though the entities which lag behind in world evolution were much, much worse off than that. This, too, is reflected in the mythology, especially of northern regions. You will know the story of Balder and how Loki brought about his death in Norse mythology. The gods were enjoying disporting themselves in Asenheim, playfully throwing all kinds of objects around. But Baldur had had dreams showing that his end was near. The gods were anxious, not wanting to lose him. Frigg had therefore made all creation swear that none would ever harm Baldur. For the sport the gods were enjoying was to throw all kinds of things at Baldur. Loki, the enemy of the gods, had learned that one entity, considered harmless, had not been asked to swear, and that was mistletoe, hidden somewhere far away. He got hold of mistletoe and gave it to the blind god, who threw it at Baldur. The mistletoe wounded Baldur, for it had not been asked to give the oath, and thus Baldur died. The myth was intended to show that something invulnerable on earth can only be harmed by something which has belonged to an earlier time and was now bad. It was felt that there was something in mistletoe which had come into the present time from an earlier kind of existence. All the entities on our present earth have a relationship with Baldur. It had been different on the moon. An entity that had remained behind from moon was therefore capable of causing Baldur's death. Various customs and rituals connected with mistletoe have also developed from this. We must now consider this moon existence from yet another side, the spiritual side. The entities which were at the human level on the moon have to be described as entities which had the ether body as their lowest principle, secondly the astral body, then the I, spirit self, life spirit, spiritual human being or Atman, and then also the Holy Spirit. They no longer had the ninth principle that had only belonged to the fire spirits of the sun. The highest of these spirits on the moon, which had the human level at that time, are in Christian esotericism called the Holy Spirit. In original Christianity, the threefold divinity was therefore inwardly connected with earth evolution, with the Holy Spirit, the spirit which is above man and able to inspire human beings directly. You see, therefore, that the spirits of the moon are today above the human level. They are also called, quote, lunar pitris, close quote, moon fathers, and spirits of twilight. The whole host, however, belonging to the Holy Spirit, is in Christian esotericism called the host of angels. The angels are nothing but the spirits that are immediately above human beings and have the human level of existence on the moon. The life of animal human beings and plant animals on the moon was different from the life of the entities on earth, which developed from them. The movement of the moon, which had already separated from the sun, was very different from the movement of today's earth around the sun. That moon orbited the sun by always facing it with the same side of itself, just as the present-day moon faces the earth, and therefore only went through one full rotation as it orbited the sun. This meant that all entities depended on the sun's existence in a totally different way than they do on earth today. During the whole period of the moon's orbit around the sun, it was always day on one side of it and a kind of night on the other. The entities which were able to change location at that time moved around the moon in a kind of circle, which meant that they were under the influence of the moon for a time. The time when they were under the influence of the sun was the time when they reproduced themselves. A form of reproduction did already exist then. The moon human beings did not yet have a possibility of expressing their pain or their pleasure in sound. What they did express was of more cosmic significance. The sun period was a time of sexual ardor, being on heat, but when it was lived through, it was connected with horrendous roars made by the entities, something which still survives in the animal world today. Various other things have also remained. You know that the migration of birds is being investigated today. They too orbit the globe in a way. Many of the things that are mysteriously hidden today can be understood if we consider the whole evolution of our existence on earth. There was a time when life forms would only get ready to procreate as they were moving toward the sun. We might call that the period of sexual life. Generally, events in lunar life came to expression in sounds that came up at certain seasons of the year. Silence reigned on the moon at other seasons. You have now got to know the Earth's progression through three earlier states, Saturn, Sun, and Moon. The end of Lecture 9.